Now, if the Trump administration follows one of its plans, Medicaid will be rolled back drastically, potentially over the next several years. Under the Obama-era Affordable Care Act, more people have access to Medicaid, and the Trump administration has highlighted that it's cost the government billions.
But the expansion might be saving the government money in other areas. A new UW study found that states that increased access to Medicaid had fewer people that needed federal income assistance.
Marguerite Burns is one of the co-authors of the new study. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Marguerite, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, this centers around one particular type of federal aid, SSI, a particular disability-oriented aid, I think. Could you tell us about that?
Sure. So the SSI program, Supplemental Security Income Program, is a federal means-tested income program. It's the largest means-tested cash assistance program in the country. And it serves three distinct populations. It serves non-elderly adults with disabilities. These are work-limiting disabilities, children with disabilities, and elderly individuals with very low income. And relevant to the Medicaid expansions, typically when an individual becomes eligible for SSI, they automatically become eligible for Medicaid as well. So we were specifically looking in our work at the population of childless adults, non-elderly adults with disabilities.
And when you started this study, what were you setting out to try to figure out?
So we were interested in understanding to what extent there were interactions between the programs, between Medicaid and SSI, and how expanding eligibility for public health insurance through one avenue might alter participation in a program that otherwise provided Medicaid.
So what did you find out, the main details, the main points?
Sure. So what we did was we compared states that had expanded Medicaid after 2014 to states that had not, and we compared the SSI participation rate in those two groups. And what we found was that in the states that had expanded Medicaid, there was a relative decrease in SSI participation of about 3% compared to those states that had not.
So that means that those states that expanded Medicaid, fewer people were using this SSI assistance.
That's correct.
Okay. Why?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So in our study, we don't have the data or the ability to identify the exact mechanism, but there is the theory behind this that's consistent with our findings is that for some individuals, obtaining Medicaid independently of SSI is preferable. And I need to give you a little bit of background.
Sure.
To make sense of that. So low-income adults, particularly parents, or non-parents, I'm sorry, had few avenues to get Medicaid outside of SSI. So they would have had to be eligible for disability through SSI to obtain Medicaid coverage before the expansions. And when Medicaid expansions have different eligibility criteria. So with SSI, to be eligible, in addition to having a serious health condition, one also must have assets below $2,000 and income far below the poverty level. So the eligibility criteria to obtain Medicaid through the expansions is more generous. It does not have an asset limit, and the income level is higher at 138% of the poverty level. So you can imagine for an individual with a serious health condition for whom perhaps the key value of the SSI benefit is the public health insurance that it provides, that being able to obtain health insurance while retaining greater savings or assets and while earning more might be appealing.
And people have characterized that SSI limit in income as a disincentive to work. If you would not only lose your supplemental income by making more money, but you'd also lose Medicaid, and that's maybe a profound incentive to not make more money.
Correct. It is described as a disincentive for that very reason.
So when we look at the amount of money that's being spent here on a person who is getting Medicaid by being in the SSI program versus a person who's on the new expanded Medicaid in some states without SSI, is there a big difference in how much the federal and state government, for that matter, are spending?
That is the question. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had the answer for you, but I could tell you a little bit about how we might get to an answer. Mm-hmm. So what our study does is provide essentially an important input into the equation that we would need to look at to generate that answer. So what we need, we can we can now sort of provide an estimate of what we would see in terms of decline in participation. And simulation, careful simulation modelers like those at the Congressional Budget Office will take that kind of an estimate in addition to what those types of beneficiaries might cost the SSI program in terms of monthly payments, and be able to give us a more comprehensive view of the value of the Medicaid expansion, the costs and benefits.
We're talking to Marguerite Burns, assistant professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at Medicaid, SSI, apparently the expansion of Medicaid benefits under the Affordable Care Act in some states has allowed some people to get Medicaid without going on SSI, and that may have ripple effects. The jury's out in some of the details there. Marguerite, I want to ask you about a state like Wisconsin, where we're kind of an asterisk. Oh, we didn't take that federal money from Medicaid expansion, but on Badger Care, we changed the criteria of who gets covered. How do you factor that in? What do you see there?
Yeah, so in our study, we consider Wisconsin, for the purposes of our study, as an expansion state. And we do that because we are specifically looking at the population below 100% of the poverty level. And as you know, in 2014, the state of Wisconsin expanded Medicaid eligibility to all adults below that income limit. So for our purposes in this study, we consider Wisconsin an expansion state.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Kevin is on the line in Crandon. Kevin, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I just want to say I'm a person that's on SSI, so when you guys came up out of the volume, you know, I was really listening. For one, remember that Scott Walker did not take the Medicaid expansion and only raised the limit for Medicaid to 100% of the poverty level, which is why I'm now eligible for it. And also that, just for your listener, for the most part, at least in my own experience and most people's experience, you don't just get disability like tomorrow. It can be a 3-year or more process. That's if you get approved. And so it's not anything. And then as far as, you know, $800 a month and change, you know, so it's not, I'm blessed to have it, and I'm blessed to have the medical care now, because I had a heart attack just last month, and I was taken care of.
Kevin, thank you so much for calling in. I'm sorry to hear about the heart attack. Best of luck as you recover from that, and thank you for sharing that story. So SSI disability, Kevin's saying, not as easy to get enrolled in by any means as people who are eligible for Medicaid to enroll in Medicaid.
That's absolutely correct. And Kevin's also correct that the Medicaid program was only expanded to 100% of the poverty level in Wisconsin, as opposed to other states that took the ACA expansion and expanded beyond that. It is more difficult, definitely, to become eligible for SSI than to become eligible for Medicaid if you have the appropriate income and asset criteria. And I think that that's another point that may persuade an individual to opt for Medicaid. There's the transaction costs in terms of applying for the SSI program. If you have the capacity to earn enough money to live, then you may find Medicaid more appealing alone.
Well, thanks a lot again for that call. That SSI disability program, I wanted to ask you about the intentions behind it. Why do we have it? How is it supposed to function for this group we're talking about, for working age people unable to work?
Right. So the SSI program is intended to provide for the basic needs of individuals who have a disability or health condition that prevents them from working in a substantial way. And so it was introduced in the 1970s and just meant to provide basic income maintenance for that population.
And is it possible that, and this is maybe going a bit beyond your study, if people are getting Medicaid before they turn to this SSI program, that the medical treatment addresses the condition that would keep them from working enough to where they can work, and so disability isn't really their concern at that point?
I think, are you asking then, could this prevent individuals who might down the line have been eligible for SSI
Sure.
because of a disability? So obtaining medical care now under the expansion prevents the occurrence
exactly.
of a disability.
Exactly. Kind of a chicken or egg
yeah.
question here. Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, that's possible. It's not something that we looked at in the study, but theoretically, it's possible.
So knowing what you know from the study, you mentioned that the next step maybe is to figure out how much money might be saved. How would you, or say the Congressional Budget Office or somebody with some big research and data crunching capabilities, how would you start to measure that?
So I think one thing that's important is to get a better characterization of the types of individuals for whom the expanded Medicaid, independent of SSI, influences their choices. And by characterization, I mean specifically what are their health conditions, and so what are their earnings capacities, and what level of payment assistance would they be receiving from SSI had they enrolled in SSI. So having a better characterization of that population is important for a more informed model to be able to estimate what are the foregone costs if those folks are not enrolled in SSI. And then one needs to make a variety of assumptions about what their Medicaid expenditures would be, whether they were or were not enrolled in SSI. So those are kind of the components that you need to work with.
We're talking to Marguerite Burns, assistant professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at a study that found that states that expanded access to Medicaid had fewer people that needed a particular type of government income assistance, SSI, the disability coverage.
You can tell us what you think at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you think that access to Medicaid should be expanded? Why or why not? Has having Medicaid helped you save income, do you think? And what do you think of plans from members of the GOP to roll back access to Medicaid? Call back 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Marguerite Burns, assistant professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Looking at a study, she's the co-author of it, it found that states that gave more people access to Medicaid saw a drop in the number of people needing federal income assistance due to disability.
And tell us what you think at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you think it's a good idea to give more adults who don't have children access to Medicaid? Wisconsin is a state that chose not to expand access to Medicaid. Do you think it should have? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And if you are on this SSI disability program, let us know how it has worked out for you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Marguerite, can we see if people in states that expanded access to Medicaid were more likely to be employed than under the previous state of affairs?
So I personally have not looked at employment as an outcome. It's a really active area of research in terms of the effect of the ACA, both the Medicaid provision and other provisions of the ACA. And right now, on average, the studies that have been published don't demonstrate significant changes in employment. However, the one study that looked specifically at individuals who report disabilities saw an increase in employment in the states with expansions relative to those without expansions.
And if we're seeing fewer people using SSI disability once they have access to Medicaid, when access has been expanded, I guess a cynical person might look at that and say, well, were these people on disability? Did they have a significant disability to begin with? Were they gaming the system in some way?
Right. And my answer is no. So it's important to remember, again, what the criteria are for eligibility for SSI. So in addition to having a very kind of rigorous medical exam that demonstrates a significant health condition, and one has to demonstrate very low income. And I think most salient for our discussion here is assets below $2,000. So that was the asset level established in the program at its origin in the early 70s. It has only once been increased. So for an individual who, one can imagine an individual has a significant health condition, meets those medical eligibility criteria, absolutely, and may have the capacity to acquire some savings or engage in work, may prefer to do so, but with a serious health condition can't jeopardize their health insurance.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Dubuque, Iowa. Jim, hi.
I've read recently that since the latest economic downturn, that more people have actually gotten on disability than gotten new jobs. I think there is some game playing here of getting, supported by the government rather than finding a record number of people that have given up looking for work. I think it's like 90 million or something like that. It's unbelievable. And I think the system is being gamed. What about conditions like depression or, back pain, which is not, due to some injury or physically visible damage?
Jim, thanks for the call. There, I think there have always been concerns. Are people, as I the phrase earlier, gaming the system? Are too many people using this rather than getting work? Do we have any? And there have been news stories about pockets of the U.S. where more people are on SSI disability than others. What do we know about, the legitimacy of the number of people who are on the system?
Right. Well, thanks, Jim, for your point. I understand the point that you're making. And I think that in our study, what we're comparing states that differ only on the fact that one set of states are expansion states and one are not expansion states. So if that is the one important difference, given the way that we've conducted our analysis, then any other factors, including potential gaming of the system, are netted out. So we still see that, relatively speaking, there's a response to expanding Medicaid for this population.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Ben on the line in La Crosse. Ben, hi.
Hi. I don't know. I was just listening to the conversation. I'm a my situation. I've been on Social Security disability since the age of 25, when I almost lost my first leg from amputation possibilities, and now I'm able to go all the way to Mayo Clinic, and I'm on an active transplant for a kidney pancreas there, and it just affords me the ability to stay alive. And I guess I get a little confused when I hear people complaining that there's not enough. I don't have any problem with the services that are provided to me, and I'm very thankful for what I do receive.
And Ben, I wanted to ask, how much is it the SSI supplemental income that you're getting that makes a difference in your life, and how much of it is being able to get, I believe, Medicaid because you're on that SSI?
I don't quite understand. Are you asking, do I feel if I'm receiving enough in a monthly payment to survive? Right.
I guess if you had to weigh the benefits of one or the other, the monthly income or the Medicaid benefits, how important are they?
I couldn't live without one or the other.
I see.
Because there's such a, you have to plan monthly and be responsible to survive on Medicare and SSI. So without one or the other, you couldn't pick.
Ben, thanks a lot for sharing your story. And it sounds like Ben is definitely who SSI was intended for.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Ben, for sharing that. This our study is identifying some fraction of the population that is responsive to being able to get Medicaid outside of SSI. But there's no question that for some individuals, the choice between SSI's monthly income and Medicaid coverage is not a reasonable choice. And it is exactly, as you said, serving the individuals it's intended to serve.
Ben, thanks a lot for that call. So as states look at Medicaid with the uncertain future of the Affordable Care Act, from your research, and I know there's still more research to be done, but are there lessons to be taken away here for policymakers as they consider Medicaid expansion and looking at SSI?
Yeah, I think the one of the key takeaway points from our research is that it's going to be important for policymakers here and elsewhere to consider the effects of Medicaid expansions beyond the program itself and looking at the spillover effects on other public safety net programs in order to have a really comprehensive understanding of how those expansions or potential contractions might affect low-income individuals.
And you focused on SSI disability. What other sorts of public programs should researchers and policymakers be thinking about here?
So that's a great question. My focus is on the disability program. So I can't really speak to what others may be looking at beyond SSI.
Thanks to everyone who called during this conversation. And Marguerite, thanks to you for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
We have been talking to Marguerite Burns, assistant professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. She joined us to talk about a UW study that found that when Medicaid became more widely available, fewer people needed federal income assistance, specifically, in this case, SSI disability. And as always, we would love to hear your stories over on the Central Time Facebook page, or you can sum up over at the Central Time Twitter zone, at Central Time WPR. Do you use SSI disability? What kind of difference has it made in your life? Are you one of the people who was newly eligible for Medicaid and were able to use that instead of SSI, the kind of core group that our guest has been talking about? Let us know at Central Time WPR on Twitter, or share your story on the Central Time Facebook page.